Q&A now. So feel free to address your questions. I'm going to call on you. I'm just going to reintroduce the people who are here available for questions. We have first Mike Dolan with Public Citizen. They're releasing a report on Thursday and hosting in this space a debate on Monday and a report back from Porto Alegre. This is Carol Welch with Friends of the Earth. Carol is representing also the Public Eye on Davos Summit. This is Mitch Cohen with the Green Party. This is Starhawk next door to him. Starhawk is with the Pagan Cluster. They're hosting a vigil on Friday night, visioning a better world. This is Sedina Sangor. Sedina is with Jubilee 2000, representing the Global South. They're going down to Porto Alegre as well for the World Social Forum. This is Eric Larson. Eric is representing the Another World is Possible rally on Saturday, where you will see the greatest number of folks in the streets. This is Kate Cooper, representing Reclaim the Streets. They're an organization that's going to be feeding into the Another World is Possible rally, doing samba with a samba band and tango dancing. This is Yvonne Liu. Yvonne is with Students for Global Justice. She's at Columbia University, where they're going to be hosting a counter summit. The Anti-Capitalist Convergence is also here. They're available to answer questions. This is David Solnit. David, raise your stuff. David is with the Arts and Action team making beautiful visuals for the street events. And this is Brooke Lehman with the Direct Action Network. And Pramila Dixit over there. Raise your hand, Pramila. She's with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And over there is Max Scott, who's representing the People's Law Collective and the folks who've been negotiating with the police so far. And Simon Greer is the last person. Simon, where are you? Simon is with Jobs with Justice, and he'll be a part of the AFL-CIO Jobs with Justice rally on Thursday. First question.
I'm over here.
Along with the National Lawyers Guild. I just want to say that we've had a differing response from the police. Some of the police have been very cooperative. We've been meeting with Chief Hale and with Esposito. They've been very cooperative. However, the police have obviously also been putting forward a counter campaign trying to portray the demonstrators as terrorists, trying to build up a militaristic response to the protests. The National Lawyers Guild and the People's Law Collective will be on the streets on Saturday, will be on the streets on Friday. We will do everything we can. We will do litigation. We will support and represent the protesters, and we will make sure people are safe. We will not stand for a curtailing of civil liberties through police misconduct and police brutality. Thank you.
What's your name?
I'm Max Scott, M-A-C-S-C-O-T-T.
Max, M-A-C-S-C-O-T-T.
With the People's Law Collective.
I'm
a legal worker. Yeah, I don't want to take too much time. I'm sorry.
One thing I want to just throw out to folks, if you missed the initial presentation, one of the foci of this press conference was to talk about us as a movement for global justice, not an anti-globalization movement, and to represent our issues. So, yes. I just want to make it clear that we're a movement for global justice, we are not anti-globalization, and that this is an opportunity for us to talk about our issues. Who are we? Why are we out there? Why are we making some noise right now in this day and age? So I hope that some of the questions are going to address that and not exclusively focus on the police protester story, because that's been scooped countless times. There's something new out there. I also want to tell you that we are willing to share with you our story. We hope that there's bi-directional trust between media and us. The reason why I bring that up is because ABC News last night took in a secret camera, a hidden camera, and didn't self-identify
when it was asked whether or not media were present in the room. We open our trainings to the media, but we also ask folks who are present whether or not they're comfortable with the media being there or going on camera, and that you guys respect that. And we found that to be a pretty enormous breach of respect. So we please do ask that you recognize where we're coming from and offer up the same respect that we do you. Next question.
I'm sure if anyone up there could sort of describe their vision of a world governed by direct democracy. I mean, how does that actually work?
David Clement.
Nina. My name is David Solnit, S-O-L-N-I-T. I'm a spokesperson for the puppet here and Arts in Action. By direct democracy, we mean people having a direct say-so over the things that matter in the places we work, our neighborhoods where we live, our schools. And it's the antithesis of what the World Economic Forum is doing. A small elite of very wealthy people making our decisions for us. And there's a wealth of examples from Chiapas to the landless peasant movement in Brazil to our neighborhood organizations and community groups. This grassroots people power is the alternative to the World Economic Forum. That's the 80,000 people who are meeting in Porto Alegre, as the very wealthy Bill Gates and Kenneth Lays meet in New York City.
David, follow up question to you while you're up there. This statement by the police yesterday essentially that they're going to arrest people with only more wearing masks. A lot of puppeteers, Australian puppets at such rallies often cover their faces, historically nonviolent compared to the Black Bloc. But this law would affect your group as well, because even underneath the giant puppets their faces are covered. Are you all concerned? Are you worried?
I mean, as artists and theater people, we've actually systematically been cracked down on in places like Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. Some of our friends were both in Philadelphia and Genoa, Italy. Our theater people were arrested, tortured in jail. So we're asking the New York City police not to shred up our Bill of Rights and our Constitution as people take to the streets. And I just want to say, I think we're standing up to the violence of the World Economic Forum. And if people in this country care about their future, if they care about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, go be in the streets with us this Saturday at noon, standing up for our rights and standing up to the Kenneth Lays of the world. And we're doing a giant pageant. The theme of it is, they are all Enron, we are all Argentina. Thanks.
Next question.
I'd like to ask Yvonne a question, or actually anyone who would want to answer this. There's been criticism in the media that this kind of protest should not be held post September 11th, and it seems to me that this kind of a protest is even more important since the war has started, and we see U.S. troops now planning to go into who knows how many countries around the world, and protest is trying to be criminalized. I wonder if you could speak to the importance of this protest in the context of the war.
I'm Eric Larson. I'm with Another World Is Possible. This idea that it is inappropriate to have a protest like this has been put out by the police. It's been put out in the press a lot by editorial writers and others in newspapers that I could mention. It's an insult to New Yorkers to think that there's anything wrong with having a protest on Saturday. This is a city that tolerates dissent. This is a city that tolerates protest and contrary ideas to the mainstream, always has, always will. And nothing has changed about the issues that we are highlighting after September 11th. If anything, they're more powerful because of September 11th. And to think that New Yorkers will somehow think that this is inappropriate is insulting to the character of this city. Another World Is Possible is a locally organized coalition. We live in this city. We've been through everything that everyone in this city has been through since September 11th. And what we're doing is affirming the character of this city much more than the editorial writers who seem to think that that repression is something that everybody, as a good New Yorker, should submit to. That's just insulting.
Yeah.
Eric, how do you say the name?
L-A-U-R-S-E-N.
First name?
E-R-I-C.
Will you go there?
Yes, I am. Hell's Kitchen.
Next question. Yes.
What do you think are the prospects of violence against property during demonstrations, and not by the groups that are represented up here, than by some of the other groups that are here?
Somebody had to ask that question, so I'm glad it's been asked. My name is Starhawk, S-T-A-R-H-A-W-K. I'm with the Pagan Cluster, and we're organizing the vigil and the ritual on Friday night.
Where is the vigil?
I'm with the Pagan Cluster.
Where is the vigil?
And let me first just give you the information on the vigil, because I think it speaks to that other issue. The vigil is at 6 o'clock at Washington Square Park. And part of the reason why we're organizing a vigil and a ritual is to address the previous question. What is appropriate to do right now when so many people are still in a state of grief and a state of trauma? I'm trained as a therapist, and I know that the kinds of traumatic events that happened on the 11th aren't over with in 3 months or 4 months. And for thousands of families here in New York, they will never be over with. So our vigil and our ritual focuses on healing, and it focuses on a chance to actually find what our vision is of the world that we want and forge some of the tools that we need in order to create that world of the future. And on celebration and on protection. And part of the reason we're doing a vigil and a ritual and we're invoking protection is because what I have seen, again, in action after action after action, is a level of police violence directed against demonstrators that far outweighs any possible breaking of windows. I've seen many of the people in these actions, young people, be beaten, come out with broken limbs, with broken arms. I was in Genoa, and I saw people there who were brutally beaten and tortured. A lot of the activists here are people who you've seen standing up and talking to you, people of passion, of courage, of vision, young people who really care about this world. And they've had a hard time, and they need some healing too. And I think that the more the media tries to push towards these questions of property damage and violence, nobody here is talking about that. The people who stand here in front of you are absolutely representative of the people in the movement. There is no secret cabal of violent thugs in this movement. They are all people like the people you see standing up before you. And there are people in this movement who are angry and have a right to be angry, because the level of injustice in this world is so great, and the forces of every police state, every economic force, every media force are so strong that fighting them is really hard and really tough. And the effort that I see people in this movement making to stay creative and to stay nonviolent and to stay peaceful and to stay true to their integrity and what they believe is absolutely enormous, and I think it deserves a level of respect I have not seen it get from the media before. So I challenge you all to step out of your roles for a moment and really listen to your hearts and listen to your intuition and look at what's in front of you and really honor the people who are willing to go out on the streets and willing to stand up for a vision of the world, which I think is the vision that serves most of the people on this planet. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm Mike Dolan, D-O-L-A-N, first name Mike, Deputy Director, Public Citizens Global Trade Watch. On Thursday at the YWCA, 61 Lexington, I, on behalf of Public Citizen, will be releasing a new report on the World Economic Forum. Tentatively titled Writing an Elitist's Future, and it is and description of the World Economic Forum at a couple of levels. One, revealing the extent to which this is really, in fact, a corporate trade association posing as a think tank, posing as a do-gooder institution, and kind of the thin veneer of the sort of public relations aspect of the World Economic Forum that I think is a big part of the story this week. Second aspect of this report will be the ways in which the World Economic Forum's actual participants this year reflect its European and North American business bias. We've taken a look at the participants, breaking them down by race, by gender, as well as by business affiliation. And the last section of the report, as soon as we get it out of the libel read, the last section of the report actually relates to the business interests of Klaus Schwab and some of the kind of insider dealings that have benefited not only Klaus Schwab but also a lot of the so-called partners within the World Economic Forum. As I say, it's due out on Thursday. I've read the second to final draft and added some stuff. It's an excellent report. Print media, I do urge you to get in touch with me to get a copy of the report. And again, I'll repeat my cell phone number. It's 510-719-9304. Thank you.
I just wanted to say a quick word on that Thursday press conference at 10:30 at the YWCA. At that press conference, there will be a wide range of groups, including public citizen, environmental groups, human rights groups, development groups, calling on the need for there to be binding regulations for corporations around the world.
I just want to bring in one person to make a comment. He's here from Switzerland, has been involved in protesting the WEF in Davos, Switzerland, for the past 5 years.
Thanks. My name is David Berno. I'm with the anti-WTO coordination from Switzerland. And we've been organizing demonstrations in Davos for the past 5 years or so against the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum. These demonstrations have been becoming stronger every year. There has been more and more people, more and more groups getting involved, and they always had a clear stance that we demand the abolition of the World Economic Forum. Now in Davos, it has been turned into a police state. Every time there has been a protest there, all demonstrations have been banned. There have been several people arrested, and there has been several people not being let up to Davos, especially last 1 year ago. There was about 3,000 people that have been prevented from going up to Davos, which is this up in the mountain. So people in Switzerland are not willing to take this anymore. So that's the reason why the World Economic Forum is meeting this year in New York City. It's not because, like they say, in solidarity with this wounded city. It's because they have been chased away from Switzerland. Now, next year they announced they're going to want to come back to Davos. The police said they're going to bring in more cops than ever. They're going to spend 10 million francs, which is about $7 million for security, and they want to keep going like that. But I'm sure this will not be taken. I'm sure if the World Economic Forum will be coming back to Davos next year, it will be the last time. And I'm very happy to see here in New York that there is a strong movement here that has the same position on the World Economic Forum, and that there will be strong demonstrations, and that the World Economic Forum its annual meeting is not welcome anywhere, neither in Davos or in New York or in Melbourne or in Cancun or in Hong Kong. Wherever they meet, there is a big demonstration.
David, yesterday Schwab and McLean said that demonstrators were invited. They said what you said, that the reason they were doing it in New York was because New York was down and out, and it would be a good place. They also said that demonstrators were invited into the forum. Can you talk a little bit to this and clarify exactly what the invites have been and what the response is
by the demonstrators?
Well, our goal is not to become a member of the elitist group. That's not what we want to do. We think that the World Economic Forum is totally undemocratic and has no legitimacy whatsoever. So, well, first of all, it's not true. We have not been invited to take part in the forum. We have been invited to speak to Klaus Schwab or several other people, which we are not interested. We are interested in speaking to people here in New York that are mobilizing against the World Economic Forum, and to speak to a lot of people from everywhere who are suffering from the politics that is being done by these multinational corporations that are members of the World Economic Forum. So that is our goal, and that's why I am here too.
How do you spell your last name?
B-O-E-H-N-E-R.
David?
I'm gonna,
one more question for David really quick.
I'll be here for questions afterwards.
And I want Carol to be able to speak to that too. Also, I've forgotten to ask media to identify your outlet when you when I call on you. And Carol will just speak to that question real fast.
Sure. The Public Eye on Davos, which has watchdogged the World Economic Forum annual meeting, we've out of 3,000 representatives who are listed as participants in this year's meeting, there are about 50 who are representatives of environmental, human rights, or development NGOs. The organizers of the World Economic Forum will cite higher numbers. There are also a lot of business NGOs, like the Minerals, Mining, and Sustainable Development Group, or the World Business Council for Sustainable Development, which are really business interest groups. The point is that the World Economic Forum has just invited sort of a smattering of critics to give themselves the appearance of being more open. But in fact, it's predominantly corporate executives. The agenda is set by the organizers of the World Economic Forum. Their meetings are not televised. I mean, there's no way that you can argue that they've become a transparent and open institution. And if they want to be discussing issues with that regard the global economy and society, issues that have impacts for people all around the world, they can't do it in a closed, untransparent, undemocratic type of meeting.
Okay, next question. Megan. And I was just wondering how much, however, September 11th and the media coverage of your movement have influenced your progress here, and because I've heard that some groups shied away, they're afraid actually of bad coverage. So could anybody of those people out there?
As I said earlier, we're a locally led coalition, and we've been through the same thing that everyone has been through. The feeling has been that this is not the time to be overly confrontational. I think that that's maybe the best word. However, Another World is Possible and other groups that plan to be in the streets will be loud and emphatic and very visible, and determined to create a space for protest, which is something that's been rapidly closing up since the war on terror, so-called, began. So we're not setting out to disrupt anyone's neighborhood or do anything that would create any sort of panic. That's not what we're about. That's what the police are trying to create through the lies that they've been spreading about us in the press. We're here to be very vocal and to make sure that our right to speak is honored to the letter.
Starhawk, your name,
Starhawk,
S-T-A-R-H-A-W-K.
That's your last name.
Yeah.
First, last.
Oh, okay.
David wanted to speak to that.
Yeah. I want to make a statement. I'm with the Anti-Capitalist Convergence. My name is David Graver. I wanted to emphasize, when people talk about terror and who it is who's actually trying to manipulate fear here, because we're doing everything in our power to make it clear that we pose no threat to anyone. We're trying to put on a really great show and invite everybody to join us. And at the same time, it's the police who are trying to make everybody scared, completely unnecessarily, because no one in New York has anything to fear from us. If there's a pitched battle that ensues if the police attack us, I mean, we're not going to be fighting back, but, you know, if there's tear gas all over the place, well, you know, that could affect people. If there's people running around in panic, that could affect people. But nothing we're going to do as should give people any cause for alarm. However, I think we should also emphasize, insofar as there's something disrupting the city, it's the World Economic Forum itself. They made the decision to come here, and I think they extremely cynically said, you know, this is a gesture of solidarity to New York. They know that it's exactly the opposite. They know that every place they've gone around the world, people have risen up to try to expose them, to tell the world who they are and what they're doing. They know that it's going to happen in New York. That's why they're having it in New York. It's a way of trying to manipulate the grief and the mourning that we all feel, and especially the people organizing this. We're New Yorkers too. And we feel outraged that these people are cynically manipulating the grief of our community as a way to have an expensive posh party to discuss how better to profiteer off the world. And, you know, they feel that in this environment they can use massive repression, which is exactly what the police are now saying they're going to do. They're the people who are causing the disruption in New York City. They're the people who are trying to spread terror and fear, not us. We're doing everything possible to defuse that. David Graeber, spelled G-R-A-E-B-E-R.
You can call on people and break in the glasses and show that? Yeah.
I wanna,
what's your outlet?
I think it's probably from Brazil. I would like to know from some of the groups for the premise here if they have any coordinated actions with the Social Forum in Porto Alegre, and also how important that forum is.
Great. Okay. Simon, and then maybe
Two coordinated events. My name's Simon Greer, S-I-M-O-N-G-R-E-E-R. I work for Jobs with Justice. On Thursday afternoon, after the rally in front of the Gap store at 54th and 5th Avenue, we'll be going to do a live video conference for the opening session at the World Social Forum in Porto Alegre to share footage from the rally, as well as have workers from different industries in the United States and labor representatives convey greetings to the opening session in Porto Alegre. And then on Friday afternoon at 1:30, we're doing an hour video conference dialogue between labor, community, religious, and student activists in New York City with a range of people being organized by the World Social Forum in Porto Alegre. So we are trying to coordinate closely and convey that there's resistance to what's promoted at the WEF, both in New York and in Brazil.
How important it is for that action to take place?
Essential.
Janina's going to speak to that too.
Yes, to answer that question, how important? It is important that ordinary people in the global south and ordinary people in the global north show solidarity. The theme is globalizing solidarity, globalizing justice. And there's going to be at the Church Center, 777 44th Street at 1st Avenue, UN Plaza, from the 31st to the 2nd or the 3rd of February. You will have a series of events taking place, interfaith, religious people from different faiths get together to show solidarity with human beings, because human beings are in the grace of God, and corporations are putting profit before human needs, and that's unethical. Sedina Senghor, and we are on our way to Porto Alegre, by the way. So this event is organized by Public Eye on Davos to show complementarity between the activities going on in Davos. Porto Alegre, yeah. The tribunal, International People's Tribunal, and the World Social Forum taking place.
Yeah, this question relates to Porto Alegre and the resonance between those proceedings and what's happening here in New York. I want you to know that 1 week from last night, Monday night, the 4th, upstairs in this venue in the sanctuary, we will be enjoying a report back from Porto Alegre. My boss, Laurie Wallach, the director of Public Citizens Global Trade Watch, Mark Weisbrod, economist with the Center for Economic and Policy Research, Victoria Corpuz-Tali from the Philippines, as well as a couple of apologists for the neoliberal and free trade agenda, Michael Weinstein from the Council on Foreign Relations, and Sachs, what's his first name? Jeffrey, thank you. Jeffrey Sachs from Harvard University is going to be right upstairs defending the World Economic Forum. It's going to be a debate, a roundtable. It's going to be very, very exciting, including a report back, as I say, from Porto Alegre. So that's 1 week from last night.
Right there. The media, you said you were not an anti-globalization group, and we in the media usually tend to put you all in the same basket. I was wondering, who are then these people, the anti-globalization groups for you, and what are you doing to differentiate yourself from them? Because we tend to put everybody in the same category.
I'm going to speak to that, and then do you want to speak to that? Okay.
I work for a newspaper in Argentina. I was interested in what they are doing. Do you have a tango session?
I just want to say, we're not separate from what you've called the anti-globalization movement and have seen in Seattle at the World Trade Organization protest, and in D.C. at the AMF World Bank protest, and overseas as well. We are representing, we're the same people. However, we're just saying that what you have called anti-globalization is not exactly accurate. It's a misnomer. We're not against globalization. We're against corporate-driven globalization that benefits corporations and not people and communities. And we're for globalization that values people and the planet over profit. So I just want that to be clear. We sort of prefer to be called maybe a movement for global justice. Pramila wants to speak to that. And then, I'm sorry. And then,
hi, my name is Mitchell Cohn. I'm from the Green Party of USA and also the New York State Greens. The World Economic Forum is the place where the heads of the world's richest corporations and governments meet to carve up the world for their own private profits. So we need to be clear about what is going on here. As environmentalists and as social justice ecologists, this is the social arena in which the deals are made to poison the world's air through trade and pollution allowances, to plow the world's soil with genetically engineered organisms and crops against people's will, to privatize the world's water supply, to patent genetic sequences of the world's plants and animals, and privatize their reproductive rights, their reproduction, and their rights to their organisms. This is the forum in which billionaires meet partners to set up global sweatshops employing child labor to produce sneakers and designer clothes. This is the vast Texas chain store massacre, the World Economic Forum. It's a scheme to arm the heavens, to irradiate the earth, to mass dredge the oceans and the seas, let's kill the whales and dolphins and everything else, to ravage the earth for oil, for gold and diamonds, and for anything else in the name of their profits. So to that, globalization of capital, to answer your question, we counterpose to their extensive global violence, we counterpose our principles of nonviolence. To their bombing and destruction, we counterpose vast social movements to empower ourselves and wrest back control of our lives. And to their system of exploitation and profits uber alles, we in the Greens say, and in the coalition, another world is possible based on human need, creativity, love, and not corporate greed. The future will be what we, the people, all of us around the world, struggle to make it, not these corporate bloodsuckers who are meeting here to carve up the world in the name of profits. Thanks.
I just want to make a quick announcement. I'm passing around a sign-up sheet that has email and fax, short and simple. So if you could just put your email and fax, I'll be sure to get our information out to you. And I want Pramila to be able to talk about what she wants to talk about.
I was just responding to the question about
yourself.
I'm Pramila Dixit with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. and we are part of this coalition that's organizing. It's PREMILLA, and my last name is DIXIT. And I wanted to address this whole question of calling us the anti-globalization movement, and what is in a name, as Shakespeare said. It's very critical to represent us. The media and those of you who have been challenging us have named us, and then you're inviting us to validate the way in which you have named us. This is our opportunity to tell you how we name ourselves. And you've heard a myriad of voices letting you know who we are. And of course, we cannot force you. This is a democracy, and you have a right to represent us the way you choose to. But the proper way to represent us, if you ask us, and numerous speakers here have very eloquently expressed that, and I will say for myself, if you ask me, what is this movement, I will say, we are a global, very deep democracy, deep ecologically embedded economic movement. Now, that's a mouthful of a name, but it is an accurate name, and it's worth our while to call something accurately so we all understand what it is that this movement is representing. It's representing solidarity with all the species that live on this planet. We're not alone. We actually share this planet with all the species that are the base from which our resources come. We are in solidarity with all the humans and all the species. It's inter-species solidarity.
Okay, I'm sorry, we're about to lose the room, so we're going to have to wrap up now and call the press conference. But I want to make everybody here available for individual interviews outside if you want to grab them. And thank you again so much for coming and hearing what's happening.
One final announcement.
One final announcement about a press release that you should get this afternoon.
If you're planning to cover the march and the rally and the vigil on Friday night, there's a press release going out this afternoon with the details about the places, the route march. We have permits. All the details are in the press release. Give me your email address, and I will send it to you.
Can I make some questions for you?
I'm with...
I'm Scott, New York City ACC, and that's Anti-Capitalist Convergence and AWIP, Another World is Possible Coalition.
How do you feel about what was said in the press conference? I guess in particular the question I wanted to ask, being a member of the ACC, it seemed to be there was a consensus of like non-confrontation, pretty much.
Yeah, well, I feel like what was said in the press conference was pretty good. It remains to be seen what's actually printed from the press conference, and I'm more skeptical of that. I felt like several people had some really passionate and strong sound bites as well as longer things to say. In terms of ACC and the consensus that you just mentioned, I think that was fairly accurate to say that most tactics are going to be somewhat non-confrontational. Although I think I'd point out that groups like anarchist groups such as the ACC have used non-confrontational tactics a lot in the past. Like if you look at Seattle, there was pretty much a consensus that the goal was not to confront the police. The goal was to do something that was very effective, whether it was property destruction or some other form of direct action, but to steer clear of the police presence because that was a battle they didn't feel like they could win. So I don't think this is going to be a fundamental change. I am a little concerned with the representation at this meeting. I think it's good that we're representing ourselves as peaceful, because I think we are peaceful, but I feel like to some degree you can't skirt the issue of property destruction, and I know personally that there will be people here who will engage in some property destruction. I think that will be well-meaning property destruction, and I think it will be well thought out. And it'll be targeting corporations, and it'll be economic sabotage, not indiscriminate violence. But I feel like that issue does need to be addressed even within the mainstream media, or you need to not say anything at all, because it's unfair to those people to pretend that that's not going to happen.
How, and that light, how do you feel? Do you feel that, given what was said at the press conference, in terms of, you know, like, basically, there were claiming there won't be any confrontation, that the press will use what was said here against the activists when something does happen?
I'm a little bit concerned about it, but I mean, to be honest, I feel like the mainstream press probably would put us in a bad light regardless. And honestly, I don't think that anyone here lied or anything like that. I don't want to imply that. And I think that everyone spoke really well. I just feel like maybe it wasn't as fully addressed as it should have been. But then again, that might be due partly to the fact that members of the Anti-Capitalist Convergence, a largely anarchist group, weren't interested in dealing at all with the press. So to some degree, it's unfair to complain that you weren't represented when you said you didn't want to be represented. And I think the tactic being used largely by anarchists is just a refusal to cooperate with the mainstream press, because we know that regardless of what is said and how positive a light we put on it, our message isn't going to get through most of the time.
Do you have any other comments about the press conference or anything else you'd like to make?
No, I feel good about the press conference.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks.
Sure.
2-hour weekly radio public affairs program. Do you want to tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Mitchell Cohen, representing Green Party USA and also Green Party of New York.
Okay. How do you feel about the press conference today?
I think the press conference was fantastic. There was a wide diversity of people here who were speaking on all sorts of subjects related to globalization. The one contribution that I think I and one other person made that was left out was the severe attacks on the environment, that's one of the main things that globalization, the main consequences of globalization, when we talk about the globalization of capital, destroying, ravaging huge sectors of the world. And there's people resisting it, from resisting genetic engineering to the construction of dams in India to the mass suicide in India, also of women farmers, against the privatization of the seeds by W.R. Grace and Monsanto Company. And all over the world, people are up in nonviolent arms, sometimes violent arms, against what global corporations are doing. And we're fighting against it. And we don't intend to only go peaceably into the night. And we intend to be raucous and loud. Nonviolent, yes. But putting our bodies where our mouths are and not letting them get away with destroying the earth and the oceans and the space the way they are. And this apologetic tone that seems to permeate parts of this press conference, oh, we don't mean to make too much noise, that's nonsense. Surprised to hear that from anarchists. Instead of saying, we are who we are, we are everything you say we are, and we're very proud of ourselves, as the Jefferson Airplane used to say. And that's where we take our politics from. We're against the bombing of Afghanistan. We support a different type of world, and not the New World Order, which this World Economic Forum is a manifestation of, which was declared, by the way, by George Bush Sr. on September 11th, 1990, the New World Order. And the WEF is its manifestation, its social function. Now, we're not going to let that New World Order stand, and which is why there's so much concern about how we act as protesters, because we're successful all over the world in fighting it back against it and reclaiming our lives for ourselves.
I guess that was a question I wanted to ask about. There seemed to be like a consensus that there wasn't going to be, you know, basically, there was sort of like an attempt, it seemed, to like sort of tone down, you know, that we're not going to, we just want to have a big party, and we just want to, you know, and yeah, I mean, people, I was, yeah, well, you basically answered that question, but.
I'm also trying to be a bridge between the different factions of the movement who are acting in a very sectarian way. We believe we're part of new world is possible, another world is possible. We're also part of the Answer Coalition, organized by the International Action Center and others, and part of the other coalitions and the Anti-Capitalist Convergence, that all of these groups are needed and lots more to focus in different ways on what's happening in this world. And this tone that exists here, this nicety nice tone, is nauseating. We want to make, you know, this thing that they're going to arrest people for wearing masks, they say. What about all the people who are wearing surgical masks all over the city because they can't breathe because of the immense pollution, largely from the World Trade Center, but also from just pollution and that exists all over the city where people need to wear these masks. So they're going to arrest people for wearing surgical masks. That should be interesting. Maybe we'll form a brigade of only people wearing surgical masks and see and dare them to arrest us for trying to breathe. They're trying to control what we wear, so they say now we can't. It's like the dress code. It's like being back in high school at a prom. Well, you can't wear surgical. You can't wear masks. You can't wear bulletproof vests or protective things. You're not allowed to wear that. That's against the law. Not allowed to wear a helmet. You know, I'm not talking about weapons. I'm talking about defensive clothing. Not allowed to wear. Probably you won't be allowed to wear certain colors in the future, you know, in the near future. And they'll see you're not allowed to carry chalk. You're not allowed to.
I don't imagine if they prevent or made it illegal for New Yorkers to wear black.
Right. Well, I'd like to see instead of the black block, I'd like everybody to wear a different color once. And then the only ones who will be wearing all black will be the police provocateurs by the hundreds who will be there, and then we'll know who they all are. So that would be terrific. But, you know, we're asking what is the well-dressed revolutionary wear on the way to the barricades these days? And we'll see it.
How do you feel about the turnout? Do you think there's going to be a good turnout for the demonstrations?
It depends what we mean is good. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as big as Seattle or anything like that. I think people in the press and the police are intentionally overestimating it. We'll have a couple thousand people demonstrating. I don't think it's going to be a hell of a lot more than that. If it is, I'd be surprised. A lot of the trade union leadership, as always, at the last minute, goes, oh, my God, well, maybe we shouldn't. Sweeney is going to be addressing. He's the head of the AFL-CIO. He's going to be addressing a big rally. And then at the same time, he's going to go in for his seat at the WEF meeting, which he's going into. And this is outrageous. He wants his seat at the table. We want to destroy the table. We don't want there to be that table. There shouldn't be any plan to carve up the world, whether it's by trade union honchos trying to cut a better deal for some workers at the expense of enslaved workers elsewhere, or the environment elsewhere, or here. No, this is not what it's about. We're all in this together. And this is the game the trade union leadership is playing now, the so-called reform leadership. And that's why we need a real Labor Party, along with the Green Party, and along with the other radical parties that represent different sectors unrepresented by the twin parties of corporate evil that the Democrats and Republicans would say it's like syphilis and gonorrhea.
Do you have any other comments you'd like to make about the conference or the demonstrations or anything?
Well, if I have any voice left, my voice is totally gone. But greetings to all the upstate listeners. And we're having our New York State Greens assembly on February 16th up in Orange County in New York, and you're further north than that, I believe, and maybe someday we'll come visit one of the candidates for governor that the Greens, there are two candidates that have announced for governor for the Green Party now. One lives way upstate New York in the St. Lawrence. His name is Don Hassig. He's an anti-cancer activist and a very, very good, solid organizer. And in New York City also, Stanley Aronowitz is a well-known professor and activist, long-term bridger between the labor movement and the green movement. And he's also announced to run, and it's really important for the Greens because we need 50,000 votes in order to stay on the ballot. If we don't get 50,000 votes, we're removed from the ballot. So this is going to be a very tricky question. To what degree do we want our politics put forth? To what degree do we need to find a famous person to get the 50,000 votes? Do we stick to our principles? What are our principles? This is all debating without the Greens, and invite listeners to take part in all this. You could contact GP, the Green Party USA, if you like, by going to our website, which is www.greenparty.org. That's www.greenparty.org. And you could also get in touch with the New York State Greens. We have a new button coming out for the New York State Greens about saying, I love the Bill of Rights, don't let Bush take it away. And that'll be out this weekend, and the Greens will all be wearing that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, if, uh,